Hi, my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I'm the host of the Men's Work Podcast, where you'll find interviews with men and with women. You'll find yoga classes, you'll find reflections, you'll find a lot of material to hopefully help you move through the tests that life has handed you: end of marriage, loss of job, marital relationship stress, fatherhood, just being overwhelmed. It's a lot. So listen, if you need to talk, I've got no charge mini coaching sessions at menswork.ca. Enjoy the show. So welcome to everybody who is on the call. My name is Hans Peter Meyer, and this is another episode of the Men's Work Live podcast. I, as well as my online guests and as well as my special guest tonight, who I'll introduce in a moment, I happen to have three dogs with me in the room. So if things get bumped around, that's what that's about. It's not about me having an amazing, you know, out of body experience. So again, my name is Hans Peter Meyer. I'm the host of these Men's Work podcasts. Happen pretty much every Wednesday night. This Wednesday, I am really happy to have Fabiola Perez with me as a guest. I noticed one of Fabiola's posts on Instagram a few months ago, and that inspired me to get in touch with her. First about using the image she'd posted, but then to have a conversation about the things that she is teaching, talking about, coaching people with. Fabiola does interesting work. For this particular conversation, her expertise as a doula and working with couples through pregnancy and after birth, I think, is what inspired, you know, this conversation. I'm going to hand it over to her in a second, but I just want to give you guys who are listening the structure. I'm going to basically hand it over to Fabiola. She will talk for a while about this idea of conscious conception. I will ask her some questions, perhaps, probably. And then as you guys feel like you've got questions or things to comment on, please use the raise your hand option. You'll see it at the bottom of your screen there under reactions. And I will try and keep track of who's got their hand up first and walk through that, or walk you through that. And then I'll ask you to unmute and ask your question, and we'll go from there. This is being recorded. You don't have to say your name, but if you want to remain anonymous, then please change your screen name. So for example, you'll see that I'm Hans Peter Meyer, and Fabiola Perez is Fabiola Perez. If you want to call yourself Bob, Joe, whatever, go ahead and do that. And that way you'll be anonymous to our audio listeners on the podcast. The podcast will be posted within a few days of after our conversation. And there's a lot more on the podcast that may be of interest to you. So please have a look there, sacredbodiespodcast.ca. That said, I'm going to now briefly introduce our guest tonight, Fabiola Perez. Fabiola, as well as working as a doula, is doing a lot of other interesting things. She's currently doing some training around sacred sexuality, which I think relates to our topic. As so often happens when I talk with particularly women who work in this kind of a area, sexuality, what we want as men, what women want as women. These are generalities, but generally there's a lot of things that we as men share and as women share, and there also is generally a shared disconnect. And my interest is in how we as men can bridge that disconnect, because most of us as men who are masculine identified and who are attracted to women would like to have more, and I think more and better sex. So this is part of that conversation. Thank you for joining me, Fabiola. I'm going to mute myself now and let you introduce the topic and run with it for a while. And when you're ready for questions, just let me know. And as you asked, I will interrupt you occasionally. Okay, you're on.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Hans, for welcoming me in your space. And I'm just really excited to have this conversation. Yes, pause me, please, because I have this tendency of just, if you give me the space, I'll just talk. So if anyone has questions, feel free to, I don't know, maybe put it in the chat as well. So I guess I will start on how did I got here? How did I got into this topic of conscious conception? And just to be clear, since the beginning, conception, perhaps I'm going to be more focused right now on like the creation of babies and a new life. But in general, conscious conception applies to anything that you're creating. If you're creating a new business or anything else, you're an artist and you're creating a new art piece, that's where sexuality, the energy, the sexual energy itself is creative energy. So that's, even if I talk more about babies, know that I'm referring to any kind of creation. So how did I land it here is, and I think it was the post that you reached out, Hans, the first one of like me saying that I'm a very emotional person and that I'm a crier, at least was one of the posts that we had a conversation about. And I have always been a very emotional person, a very emotional woman, and I cried a lot. And my father, as I used to call him, he was a non-emotional man. I've been trying to let go of that label of labeling men as emotional and non-emotional. That has been the path that I have been in the past couple of years. But that's the kind of man that I grew up around, the non-emotional man. And I really admired him. For me, masculinity, masculine energy was my goal. Like, that's what I want. That's how I want to present myself. So tears are out of the table for me. Then as a teen, I knew that my purpose in life was helping people. And in that moment, when I will observe the suffering of the world, I will just cry. You know, I just couldn't handle it. Then the time of choosing a career came and I wanted to study psychology. My dad was like, don't do that. Like all the psychologists, all the therapists are crazy. Like do something else, do something creative. And that's what I did. I chose a creative career. I became a designer, a fashion designer, mainly with the purpose of, okay, I'm not going to become a therapist because I'm going to be crying with my clients. So I don't think that's going to be helpful having two people crying at the same time. So why don't I start from the outside? Why don't I start with making sure the person creates this self-image that makes them feel better and the way they express to the world? At the same time, I landed into yoga and spirituality. So I started diving deeper and deeper and deeper, allowing myself to tap into my own coping mechanisms, allowing myself to tap into my own emotions and express them. So I landed in the world of yoga, teaching yoga. Then that led me into pregnancy. And I discovered pregnancy and I discovered birth and I just became amazed with it. And I was like, that's something that I want to do. I got to experience my sister's home birth, which changed my life entirely. And being at home birth, then the whole family were there, my parents, my sisters, two doulas, two midwives and my sister's husband. And just the interaction, the energy of the room was beautiful. And then life guided me to the next step of becoming a doula. It was not in my plans. I faint with blood, so I didn't thought I would be able to do that. But then life asked me to be a doula, so I jumped and became a doula. And that's where I started working with couples. And that's where I started working with men, because until then I have been working with women all along. And just tapping with the experience of creating a family and the merging of the masculine and the feminine energy was just another part that was really interesting to me. Because then I started seeing the men that they were the ones who wanted to become a parent, and the mom actually didn't want it to be a mother ever. That was actually my first couple that I got to work with. He really wanted to be a dad. And I got to observe those dynamics. I got to observe the dads, and just parentheses, I'm definitely talking more about heterosexual couples right now, but this again can apply to any couple. I got to see the dads being very resistant to the change, or very in their masculine energy of focusing on the worrying, like how I'm going to sustain my family. Like I should just jump into my masculine energy to make sure I'm creating that safety that my family will need, so I don't necessarily enjoy the pregnancy. And then I got to work with other parents or fathers that were extremely involved with a pregnancy and really excited and wanting to tell me their love story. And I got to see all these versions of men that I never experienced before. And that was extremely exciting for me. And when birth happens, I'm focused on the mother, but the moment the baby's out of that vagina, like the first thing that I look at is at the father to see their way of reacting. And I love like the way they express, and some of them cry, some of them not, some of them just like laugh and smile, and some of them are just taking pictures. But the way they react, it's always a softening. It's always that space of, okay, my partner is safe, my baby's safe, now I can soften, and now I can feel. And something that I was just realizing the other day talking with you, Hans, was that part of pregnancy is such a physical, obviously, experience for the woman. And everything starts changing, hormones and everything. But for the man, it's not physical. So the moment that that baby's out, then it becomes physical. And then it's when the part that I have witnessed is that their hearts are penetrated with this love for the first time. It becomes real. So then that's what my work with couples. I got to experience birth trauma. That birth trauma happens for the mother, for the baby, and for the dad. And then that led me to my first intention in life, becoming a therapist. So it's like, now is the moment that I want to become a therapist, because I want to deal with these. And my focus was always healing people and helping people be better. So in a way, I've been trying to go to the root of the problem of why we're so affected as humans. Why are we so hurt? So I've been trying to go to the root. So let's go to pregnancy, and let's go to create a very healthy baby in the womb. Let's go to create a beautiful birth experience, so the baby has this beautiful welcoming party to the world, and they're healed. And now I want to go even farther back. I want to go to the moment when that egg and that sperm get together and we can create life out of full love and orgasmic love. And I believe that if we can create a human with that kind of orgasmic energy, I think we can be actually amazing humans. Like, instead of being born of trauma or of pain or just life, you know, just a woman, a man coming together, and oh shit, we're pregnant. versus let's intentionally get together and create amazing human beings that can actually create a beautiful impact in this world. So that's where I'm at, and that's why I decided to go back into studying sacred sexuality with more of an intention.
So my experience around conceiving children the first time, as I've told you the story, was certainly not planned. I certainly was enjoying having sex. I knew that the woman I was with, who I hardly knew, wanted to have a child, but it was something that I was not, it was, that was not, and it certainly wasn't something that I planned to have happen as soon as it did. And my response to that, I mean, when you talked about, you know, the men in the delivery room, their hearts softening, I think I was so shut down. Like it was just all too much. And it took me a long time to, I can't remember. I just remember, like, it just seemed like days that I was kind of in a daze and really struggling. With my second daughter, we planned to have, I mean, and this was, it was, and I hear other people talking about this too, you know, that they planned to have child, and then they have the worst sex ever. Mm-hmm. You know, so what I'm into, I mean, and we had a great, you know, we have this daughter of mine who is now, what is she, 32, going to be 33 this year. My oldest daughter is 35 this year. You know, they've done really well. I think I've become a really good father from a not so great start. But I would love to have known what I could have done and what I can maybe help other men that I work with approach this idea of conceiving with a partner that they love, mm-hmm. a partner they want to be with. What kind of things can we do to actually be, because I agree with you. I mean, my bias is increasingly towards that we don't really understand or value what happens in our sexual activity. We're, especially as men, we tend to be very focused on ejaculation, either having it or trying not to have it. Her pleasure is definitely part of the mix, but as soon as we get to a certain point, it really becomes a struggle with our own ejaculatory impulses. And very few of us are bringing much consciousness or attention or even breath to that experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what could I have done with my second child, who I was definitely wanting to conceive, and so was my wife, and instead of it being this technical exercise in procreation, how could we have consciously created a child? Mm-hmm. What kind of things would you recommend that I, as a man, do?
Yeah, I think the first step is doing your own personal work, right? As you were saying, I was pretty shut down, and you were young. You didn't have the awareness back then, but you're right. With second child, you could have had that awareness. So it all comes down to, you know, sitting in front of a mirror and looking at yourself and see what I am doing to become a better person, to become a better man, to become a better father or brother or son, you know, doing that personal work, because that personal work that you do individually outside in the world is going to be reflected in your sex life. Right. So, and I think that's part of my intention right now when I work with postpartum trauma. My intention is healing. So by the time you decide to have a second baby, you go with that intention. Because I do work with a lot of moms now. And I work with a lot of men Now I think like 90% of my clients are men, and something that I wasn't used to that. So I just love that I can have these conversations with guys of, what are you doing to be better? How are you committing to your own mental health, to the way that you are showing up in the world that is more congruent to who you are, more congruent with your values? I think that's definitely the first step. And then the next step is, so if you're already in a relationship, is how are you showing up in your relationship? And how aware are you of that masculine energy that you're bringing into the relationship? And how aware are you of your feminine energy? Because I believe that, well, we all have both of those energies. And being in relationship, we're always interchanging, right? There's times that one gets to be more in their masculine and the other one more in their feminine. But I think the invitation right now is to really tap into that feminine energy within you as a man, to allow yourself to soften up, to allow yourself to open. And then once you're actually planning to conceive, because you're right now, and mainly with the infertility rates that we're having for so many reasons, it's hard. It's hard to have a baby. So of course, you know, having sex becomes like a scheduled thing according to where the woman is ovulating. So yeah, for sure. It's not like that sexy time that we're expecting, or that out of nowhere, you know?
Well, I think that's generally one of the problems that I see with us as men, is that we keep expecting that romantic phase of the relationship when your body is much more open to us, mm-hmm. to continue and to not be aware of the fact that for your body to be open to me requires me to actually, again, be very conscious about what I'm doing. You know, mm-hmm. one of my teachers says that if a man wants to have sex with a woman, he needs to spend 72 hours in preparing. Like, mm-hmm. the foreplay isn't just something that happens the moment he decides he wants to have sex. It's something that happens 3 days before, mm-hmm. he wants to have sex. So I mean, that's a whole way of looking at my sexuality that, you know, I still find it's hard. It's hard for me to even think like that, because I want, mm-hmm. this thing to be. So, you know, one of the things that a teacher said recently, he talked about the importance for men, for us to create rituals in, mm-hmm. our lives. Again, that's something that most of us don't want to do because it's work, mm-hmm. that we don't want to take on. But to me, it seems, especially with what you're talking about, like the need to have, you know, you've got scheduled sex because of, you know, fertility, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
To actually create pleasurable rituals around that rather than, technocratic.
Mm-hmm. So if you're already going to dedicate the time, then make sure it's quality time, right? And I think as a woman, most of them will agree with me that that's the most important time, that you feel that your partner is dedicating that quality time to you. And I know we live in a stressful world, right? Mainly like in North America, we're in that go, 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 go all the time. So it's hard to separate ourselves from that. But even bringing this in and just bringing that part of sexuality being just creative energy in general, if you're creating a new business, if that's the stage of life that you're at right now, you're creating a new business, you know that for that business to be successful, you have to dedicate time. You need to dedicate quality time to it. Because if you do the cheap, fast work, you know you're just going to be doing like more work next year or once it's out. So we know this. We know this. So now bring that same concept, because it's the same energy, same creative energy, bring it into your sex life. If you want to create a child, or even if you just want, maybe you don't want babies, but you want to have a healthy, intimate relationship with your partner, then you have to dedicate time and you have to be as intentional as you are with work and what you're creating there. Same energy, just let's translate it to this space.
So when you talk to men about this, how, what kind of response do you get? Are they willing to do this? Or more to the point, are they willing to do it over time? Because I might think something's a great idea this week.
Yes.
But after 3 or 5 weeks, I might be more inclined to watch the baseball game or something.
Yeah. I laugh because it really depends on the personality. And now I think it also depends on how in touch they're with their feminine energy. I will say that clients that are more in touch with their feminine energy, they get excited when I talk about this. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, I want to be there. I want to be in that space. Guys that haven't gotten in touch with that, it's hard. It's even hard to have a conversation about sex with your female therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, I have like guys that they just like laugh and like, you know, they become small and like they're shy. And then the next session I ask and they're like, yeah, I had a little bit of sexy time with my partner, you know, and that's about it. So perhaps even we have to normalize having sex conversations with not only other guys, but with your female friends. And I think that's really where we can learn, because I am learning a lot. I am learning a whole bunch of having this kind of conversation with my male clients. So perhaps that's what we need to do also. Share more space with the opposite sex, or well, with the opposite kind of energy.
Right. Well, it's certainly one of the reasons why I invited you here, and why I've invited, you know, women who are men's sex coaches and such to be guests and available, because I think most of us, I mean, I've learned how to have a lot of conversations. I still find that in my intimate relationships, some things are just harder to talk about than they are with women who I'm not that way involved with. Mm-hmm. But like you, I've learned a lot, and I've also learned, I mean, it's interesting what you said about being in touch with your feminine energy. I see a lot of what I will call collapsing into the feminine rather than holding space for our own feminine. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that if I want to actually create a safe space for the woman I love, and we've talked about, I'm in this a very interesting relationship where that's really a primary focus for me, is like, how do I create that safe space? And then I watch her open, and not sexually, but just open, and just how beautiful that is. And part of that is I've learned to become much more patient. And the things that I took for granted at one time now are much more, I appreciate the subtleties, and I appreciate what I call the magic of things that I didn't before, because it just seems so easy. And because I was so driven by my own very limited sexuality or expression of that. And I thought that I was actually, and I was told, you know, that I was a good lover, but it turns out that the bar is very low. So if you're listening to this and you're a man and you're wondering why, especially if you've been told that you're a good lover and you wonder why things don't always go the way you want them to, you know, it's my experience is that women let me get away with a lot. And I'm lucky now that I'm in this very interesting dance where I'm called upon to not only experience my the masculine to hold safe space, but I only become safer when I allow my feminine to be expressed mm-hmm. and felt. So I cannot say enough about doing, and I really don't like doing what's called feminine practice. I find it really hard, mm-hmm. but it's been part of, that not just the softening of my own heart to myself, but having compassion, understanding a little bit more about what's happening in a body and an energy very, very different from mine. And I think that's something also that I don't think that we really understand. And part of that has been, 50 years of a certain kind of feminism that was about women needing to have more access to all kinds of opportunities and stuff. But so much of that has forced women to be more masculine rather than being in a feminine way. And there's lots of great stuff happening that women are doing that's feminist, that's certainly not that way. And it's really beautiful to see this exploration of a different kind of femininity. But most of us in this culture, you talked about North America. I think most of the world has its own version of a very limited form of masculinity. Mm-hmm. That for women to succeed, they're expected to. I mean, you talked about your own upbringing and your own attraction to that mm-hmm. kind of way of being. And so I think we have a really interesting piece of work for ourselves as men, especially if we're wanting to not only create babies, but create a new kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And this work is, I actually think it's pretty painful.
It is. And I think that's mainly what I have been learning in this training that I'm taking, that we have to allow ourselves to dive into that pain. Because on the other side of pain, there's pleasure. But we have to go through it. If we just go around it, it's just going to be, just a little bit of a taste of pleasure, but it lasts 2 seconds. But unless we allow ourselves to go through the pain, and this is where my first step was going through your own work, is allow yourself to go into the pain so you can land on the other side of pleasure, and then you can share it with someone else because now you went through it. And at the end, that's also orgasm. Right now we try to control everything, right? And that's being both of the people, or how many people are interacting in the sexual intimacy act, is more like everyone trying to control, right? And it's that sex that we're just fighting for power, fighting, and then you just reach these tiny orgasm the last 5 seconds, and it's disconnection again. And I think the work is, what I'm learning now is showing up for each other and allow the intimacy interaction, being sexual or not, just intimate in any shape or form, to change us. And change is scary. That's why it's so scary to jump into new relationships, because we get used to being alone, and then we use our own energy and we feel we're great. And then it's not until we allow ourselves to jump into a new relationship and we allow ourselves to be intimate, and by intimacy I mean allow ourselves to be seen, be naked, and not only naked with the body, but naked emotionally and with our fears. And I think that if we show up naked emotionally, is when we can really tap into that connection and into that long lasting or multiple orgasm that right now is everyone's trying to reach that. But I don't think that's necessarily the goal. The goal is, it's just showing up authentically with another person. And communication is so important. Even as a guy, if they show up and communicate, you know, I'm really stressed because I have all these responsibilities and I feel like I'm carrying the world at times. Well, communicate that to your partner. She will love, or they will love to hear that. So in that case, she can jump into her feminine energy and give you what you need. She can nurture you, but she won't be able to nurture you unless you don't express that you need that, that you need to be supported, that you need to be held. And just talking about that, I feel like, oh, my chest is softening. I feel more relaxed, you know? And that's, I think that's the opening that you were talking about earlier with your partner. Like when we just allow ourselves to be seen, we open up, we naturally open up.
And when we open up and stay connected, then the other person feels more relaxed and more able to open up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you were one of the early conversations that I had around this idea of the sacred womb, whereas I think for us as men, not only is the woman giving birth to a child and giving birth to herself as a mother, she's actually also giving birth to the man as a father. Like that's her energy that's changing everything. You know, you talked mm-hmm. about the hormonal stuff that she's going through, but just even if he's resisting it, even as much as I resisted it, you know, my wife was giving birth to me, and I was mm-hmm. possibly a more painful birth. You know, but I didn't think of it in those ways. So I one of the reasons I want to have this conversation and probably doing it again is because the idea of consciously coming together to create life or as you said, you know, to create a relationship. Not only, you know, like it will be painful to the extent that I am willing to stand on that edge, because the feminine in myself, but also in her, is always changing, and there's no comfort level.
Mm-hmm. You know,
she might comfort me for a moment, but that's not her job. Her job isn't to mother me. Her job is to keep feeling and keep changing. And that's always going to be, for me, that's always going to be challenging. That's mm-hmm. always going to be taking me to my edge. So it's an interesting thing. Whereas as a masculine identified man, I want to lead, and I'm comfortable leading,
mm-hmm.
but there will be moments where I'm just leading into off the edge of the cliff,
mm-hmm.
and I just have to trust. I mean, and this is very poetic, but I'll say this number of times over the next few years probably, but lots of us men. would love to live in a world of how-to manuals. Like that's how we approach life in lots of mm-hmm. ways.
Mm-hmm.
But probably the extent that we're into that technical how-to manual, we will attract a woman who is pure poetry and without structure and will challenge us all the way. And that's a really, at this point in my life, I think that's one of the most beautiful things that I can hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Because that introduces me to a level of connection and beauty that, again, I can't even imagine. Just like I can't imagine what her body goes through when she carries a child or gives birth. So when I'm, you know, if I was way back when, 30, 34 years ago, wanting to consciously create this second child, because at that point I was really enjoying being a father, now I would now mm-hmm. but only recently would I have thought of this. I would be creating rituals, everyday rituals, about letting her know that she was supported, that she was loved,
mm-hmm.
that I wanted her to feel relaxed and held,
mm-hmm.
and really not even thinking about, as much as I couldn't or could, not thinking about sex itself, but mm-hmm. about this larger womb energy that was already transforming me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that would look like, but again, I think that's because it's poetry. It's not, there's no how to, I mean, there's, you know, there are some things we could say, you know, like create a safe space, you know, make sure it's warm, have soft light, you know, mm-hmm. make sure there's like, you know, 72 hours. I don't know.
Yeah.
But really it comes down to, I think, just being, for myself, being confident enough and stable enough in the moment to feel her and how she's moving,
mm-hmm.
and then guide her. And it really is some kind of a dance, I think. And it's not a dance that's got prescribed moves. It's a dance about, like, where is my heart? Where is your heart?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, for me, that would have been a hard thing, because my body is, and my mind are very impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always be strategically thinking about
it. I think the word that you said that I hope many new parents can hear is support. A woman just needs support after that, in any shape or form. You decide your love language. But as long as you're making sure that your partner feels supported in that transition.
Well, I would say she needs support right from the get-go.
Well, yes, yes. But me, that I'm working with couples,
mm-hmm.
and working with postpartum, you have no idea that lack of support. And it comes like, we need emotional support. And yeah, I don't know where it gets lost in translation, perhaps, but it does. And the other thing that I think is key of what you just said, because I see this happening over and over again, is the partnership ends, and then one of them jumps into the tendency is that the mom jumps into the mother role, not only of the child, but the husband. And I have also seen the other side, the man jumping into the role of a father. And there is, at least from my experience of what I have seen, there's nothing else as strong that kills sex appeal as much as one of them jumping into that parental role. And it happens a lot. It happens so much. So what can you do? Because it's not about blaming and pointing the other side. It's about checking in with yourself again. And what can I do so I'm not jumping into a parental role with my partner, in this case with my wife? And for the woman that listened to this, what can I do? I know it's very tempting, but what can I do to, like, just take a step back and make sure I'm not jumping into that mother role? Because if you jump into that mother role, the man just feel like, ugh, you know, like, it's just like a teenager trying to push his mom away.
Mm-hmm.
So the intention, and these are conversations that I have before the baby lands into this world. I have these conversations about how is intimate going to look like after postpartum. Make sure, mainly to the mother, I remind her, he's not your son. Don't jump into that space. And for the man, I just ask for a lot of patience and a lot of support. I say, first to start, most of the women, again, in my experience, they have the experienced trauma in birth. So they don't want sex. They don't want anything close to their vaginas. Nothing. So then redefining intimacy, and I think it's going back to your rituals, talking about ritual. Like, intimacy is not just sex. So how are you making sure, and this applies to anyone, how are you making sure that you're creating that space for intimacy with your partner without even involving touch? Perhaps it's just 5 minutes of really intentional conversation, of looking each other at the eye, of really sitting and listening. Even when your life is busy, create those, well, 5 minutes I think is too short, maybe 20 minutes, you know, of intentional conversation. Finding out your partner's love language. And if their love language is acts of service, then make sure you do something for your partner that day. Like the biggest complaint that I get for women and in my own experience is just pick up your damn socks. Just pick up the socks. Why don't you do that? You know, and you have no idea. For a woman, that can be like, he loves me. He picked up his socks today. He truly loves me. That's all that I needed. You know, now like I want to please you because you picked up your damn socks. You know, and if their love language is touch, then it doesn't, touch doesn't mean sex. Touch can be just cuddling while you watch your Netflix show, or touch can be making sure you like hold hands while you sleep. That doesn't take time of your day. You're already sleeping. So why don't you try holding hands in that time, or just like putting a hand on the shoulder? And that's the, in couples therapy, one of the theory is make sure that for one thing that you do wrong, for one fight, for one something that just doesn't feel right, make sure you're doing five things that are you intentionally bringing that positive energy or that connection. And again, those five things can be looking at each other at the eye, acts of service, whatever. It doesn't take too much. That's the thing.
Okay. Thank you, Fabiola. I'm going to ask if anybody who's listening has a question. So just use the raised hand thing if you've got one. Okay, Chad, can you unmute yourself and ask your question?
Good.
Well, welcome.
You always knew I'm good for at least one, right?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope so. I'm counting on you.
So I guess I would just like either of you to say a few more words. Like if I think I've asked this question before, like the men's how-to manual. If you saw, I gave you the thumbs up, Hans, when you said you wanted, you know, the men would just like the instructions. So, you know, I heard showing up for each other, connecting, support, rituals. And in the end, it all started to fit together. But still, this notion just eludes me sometimes of this connection. And I feel one, but it seems superficial. And I know her desire for one is much more than superficial. But you know, I can spend time. We do touch, you know, looking into the eyes. All these things that you've mentioned a little bit make some sense. But I just, you know, maybe it's just that my focus has not been long enough, and it just takes more of it. And then eventually, you'll know when you see it, maybe. But I would just love to hear maybe a few more thoughts on that.
Would you be open on sharing, Chad, a little bit more on that superficial part of connecting, and what does that look like for you? Perhaps you don't have to disclose fully, but how does superficial connection looks like for you?
Well, I mean, I don't think years ago I would have called it that necessarily, but I think mm-hmm. that's kind of what it is compared to what is desired now. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's easy to say, well, we're together. I'm happy to be here. She's happy to be here. We're engaged. We're not on our phones necessarily, and we're in contact, and we're feeling, you know, good about each other, or amorous in some way. But that's the basics that you would imagine that would be about. But what we're talking about here is when I hear doing the work and giving the effort, mm-hmm. it's much deeper than that.
Then what comes to mind? I don't have an answer for you, but I think your partner has an answer for you. for sure. So it's about creating conversations. So I think part of this connection means let's have this conversation. And I find this harder when a couple have been together for a long time. It's harder because it feels like you're going backwards of like, oh, I feel shame because after 10 years or 4 years, we haven't had a conversation about how those intimacy looks like for you. So I think an ingredient is a little bit of humility and saying, hey, I'm actually really curious. What does intimacy mean for you? And the thing also with long-term relationships is that we're always changing. So what I wanted 5 years ago is definitely not what I want right now. So just checking in with your partner and just ask directly, what do you need for me? Because I want to put up the work. And if my partner comes to me and tells me, I want to put up the work, what do I do for you to feel that connection with me? That's already like, for me, so like, that's enough. Just ask me. And then as you might have already got from me, like I can talk. So get your partner to talk, get your partner to express what intimacy means for them. I don't know if that answers.
I'm going to add something. It's not different, but so the woman who I get to practice with is not like Fabiola. She hardly talks at all. So in a similar way to you, Chad, I'm in this space and I can feel that there's a level of comfort. You know, we don't see each other very often, but she's sitting across from me and I know there are things that she would like to do. And so I suggest, well, we are actually having a conversation and I was asking how she was feeling in her body. And she told me, and I said, well, you know, would you like to do something to feel better? And, you know, she's trusted me with telling me what she's feeling. So I'm going with that and suggesting that there's something that we can do that I could actually lead here, a practice. She says, no, I'll go do something on my own. And then the next day we talked and it, out of the totally different conversation, she said, you know, any kind of task just feels like it's just an overwhelming thing. Like even doing a practice just feels like a task to overwhelm me. And then a light bulb went on for me. And I said, oh, you mean like me suggesting to lead a practice is overwhelming? That what I should be saying is, you can just lie there and I'll do the practice. I will do the breath work. I'll do the stuff, knowing that energetically she will get something from it. But I mean, it's taken me a long time of being really quiet and really patient and listening. You know, this is what intimacy looks like for me. And then I would do that. And then, as she said, 5 years later, I'd still be doing that. And she would be really frustrated. But I wouldn't have figured that out. Because in my mind, having read the how-to manual, that's the how-to. So to go back to this thing about conscious creation, it's I'm constantly creating every relationship I'm in is constantly changing. I'm only just now starting to learn that I actually have a role to play in leading how that changes rather than letting it happen by default. So my response to you is to follow what Fabiola says, like just to start asking the questions and then to listen below. You've been with this woman long enough that you actually know when what her heart is saying, even if you don't think you do, you actually know that. But for you to know that means that you need to become more still and more patient. And then you'll start, and at some point you'll just start knowing, oh, you want me to hold your hand. Mm-hmm. You want me to shut up. you just start knowing this stuff without being told. And then when she starts feeling you knowing this, then all of a sudden you can just start, her skin starts to glow. And not only are you in the same room and kind of feeling comfortable, you can actually feel her energy, like that there's a warmth there. But I think that takes way more patience than most of mm-hmm. us men are willing to get. We're wanting her, again, to go back to what Fabiola said, you know, we're wanting her to be our mom, to show us, to hold our hand. And then as soon as we're shown what to do, then for her to switch into being our lover. And, mm-hmm. and that doesn't work.
If I can add, I 100% agree with that patience piece, mainly when this is not something that either of you are used to. So I can tell you, this is not a conversation that I was used to in the past. So as it's being introduced, yeah, for sure, I will go into my free state at the beginning. So it takes time for both people to get used to having these conversations again, because we just didn't learn that these conversations were okay. So it's a continuous conversation. It's just not a one eye, let's chat about this and we'll get it done. No, like patience and both sides, doesn't matter the gender, sex, identity. We all have that, that problem in general. Yeah.
That help, Chad?
Sure, it does a little bit. Obviously, I've got a lot of gunk around my relationship. It wasn't so much a question only for me, although thinking forward, maybe it would be useful at some other point. But I just always like to push people just maybe one bit further than they've explained to help us that aren't quite catching what you're putting down immediately. So yes, that was useful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Chad. Anybody else have a question or a comment? I'm curious about how many men here are actually thinking about having, are there any men here who are thinking about having children? And if you are, just if you can just put a hands up or something, and if you're willing to talk about that, I'd love to hear you. I'd also love to hear from some of you who, I know some of you have kids. I'd love to hear you talk about your own conscious or unconscious creation moments, if you're willing to be that vulnerable. So I'm going to put those two questions out there. Do you have any questions that you'd like to hear asked or answered, Fabiola?
Not really, but I'm definitely an open book. So if anyone has a question later on, feel free to just reach out either to Hans or me directly, and I'm happy to answer or be more clear in any way.
Okay, well, we are almost at the top of the hour. So we started this by talking about, or the invitation was to talk about conscious creation. And I think we've started a conversation that I want to invite you back for, Fabiola, because I think there's a lot about the energy that we bring together as men and women in making children. That isn't just, I mean, there's the obvious mechanics of sex, but there's also an energetic piece about how we do that and what kind of consequences that might have for our children. Certainly what kind of consequences it'll have for a couple as they go into the first, second, third trimesters of pregnancy, and then what's sometimes called the fourth trimester, that period afterwards. And I say this stuff and I talk about it because I'm not because I did any of this well. In fact, I did most of it very badly. And, you know, I have to hand it to my wife at the time for putting up with a lot of, you know, unconscious and unhelpful behavior. But I think this is really important. I have children. I now have a grandchild. I'm watching my grandchild be raised in a way that's consistent to what I, you know, how I tried to raise my children. But certainly my daughter is, you know, doing amazing things compared to what I did. And I see her husband just being available and present in a way that I didn't know how to be. So it feels good to see that in the next generation. And I think it's important to have these kind of conversations, whether or not you think it's weird to consciously create a child or not. It's important, I think, to open up the conversation about what and how we can do things in ways that are better for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And Fabiola, just to, to close, I think there's this tendency, not all women, but there's this tendency that, like, we prepare for longer for motherhood, or at least it's a thought for many of them that I want to become a mother one day. I don't know when, but for men, what I have noticed is, like, there's suddenly a switch. Like, oh shit, I'm now this age, or now I accomplished what I needed with my work life, and now I'm ready to become a father. Like, oh, wait a second, let's slow down. And I think that's the whole point of bringing this conversation to more men, to know that they can bring intention, they can prepare themselves, they can come with that level of awareness, and that it takes time, just like anything.
Thank you. That made me think of a conversation that I'd like to have with you on this topic, and it has more to do with, I don't know what to call it. I mean, the whole dating compulsion that's out there and the compulsion to somehow find the perfect mate and stuff. In the work that I've done and in the work that I see men and women doing, a lot of the most interesting stuff, I think, has less to do with dating apps and much more about, as you said, doing our own work and preparing ourselves energetically and making ourselves, as one of my teachers calls it, you know, basically making ourselves a magnet for that polarity that we're meant to attract. And that, to me, seems to be a fit with this whole idea of conscious conception, that we do this work to attract someone with whom, and like you, I keep running into men who haven't thought about having children, not in any kind of concrete way. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I want to be married. I want to have a family, you know, and they've spent the last 10, 15 years basically just acting like teenagers. So maybe there are some how-to pieces in there, you know, and maybe there are some ways that we can help other men and myself, because it's, you know, as you said, it's not just about having children, it's about consciously creating, for me, the relationship, the family, the mm-hmm. life that I want. And that's never-ending work. But there are some basic pieces to that we can talk about next time, perhaps.
For sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Fabiola. I enjoyed listening to you and hearing what you had to say. And I love this topic. I think it's really important.
Thank you, Hans. I really enjoyed our conversation. And thank you, everyone that was present tonight.
So this will be going up on the podcast soon. Keep your eyes peeled for sacredbodiespodcast.ca. And until next week, I'll say goodbye and talk to you soon, Fabiola. Bye-bye, everybody.
Ciao.